Mafia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Brotherly Love Wrestling Presents Fallout.
Can we start yet?
Yes, that was the intro, so we are starting right now.
Oh, all right.
Let's start over. We'll do like 3, 2, 1.
So on today's show.
What's going on? Are we doing this yet? All right, Hulk, go ahead, Sid.
We have Team Tremendous joining us.
No, wait till I get to one.
Three. We can count down.
Two, one. Yeah, you go on the one. You go on the one.
Nine, eight, seven, six, three.
Up to now, joining us,
five,
Vic Delicious.
Four, three.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate you having me on the show. I was really hoping you guys would have me back. I've been on a while. Where's Hale?
Could you turn down your radio in the background? I'm getting a little feedback.
Wait, what? Am I doing this right?
Oh, man. Well, story of my life. Hal's not here yet. I imagine he'll jump up on the apron when I needed to make the tag the most. That's how I'm seeing this go down, you know?
Until that point.
Like a good partner. He'll be your partner.
So,
you got stuck with me. Sorry, Vic.
That's okay. At least you have the right shirt on.
True. So, Teacher Man, you guys are going to go first.
Wait, what?
Wait, Teacher Man, you're
going
to
go first. Okay.
I'm going first. Paying attention.
Yeah. So, whichever one of you,
prepared
Dan,
for this.
Dan, I'll start. Bill. I'll start. Bill, go after me.
Okay. The topic is, do you think WWE has a broken system due to Vince McMahon having a lot of yes men around him and helping him make his decisions?
All right, let's start with this. I wish my system was that broken, that I was a billionaire who got to buy a football company and make one and go, you know what, fuck it, I don't want to do this anymore. So no, I don't think the system is broken because of yes men. Do I think there are a lot of yes men in pro wrestling? Absolutely, because everyone's a coward who's afraid of losing their job. But realistically, you have a lot of wrestlers there who are doing everything they can to get their own stuff over. I don't think that the system is necessarily broken. I just think that they're trying to find a new avenue of success when realistically there's an old tried and true avenue they probably could have just kept using and people would have been perfectly happy. There's no reason to do these sort of blown over storylines that involve hiring Hollywood writers to put their shitty B movies onto, you know, cinema at WWE. All you had to really do is just tell tried and true stories and then have competitive matches where people are competing to try and earn title shots. It's pretty fucking simple. Wrestling is not hard. It is super, super easy. As long as you don't overthink it, it'll be fine. The yes men are not the problem. It is people's imaginations. Dial that shit back. We're not writing another Avengers Endgame. I'll concede my time.
Right.
This motherfucker answered both ways.
I said it's not failing because of yes men.
He said there's too many yes men, okay. But it's not the yes men, but maybe it's the yes men. But... All right, Vic, have at it. I'm sicking you on them. Go ahead.
All right, yes, absolutely, positively. The system is 100% completely broken. The idea that you could have a system that does not breed creativity and does not breed you being your true organic self when you're in the very young stages of figuring out who you are as a performer, it is stifling when you're being told what to do, every step of how to do it, pre-planning every single camera angle, every single spot that you're going to be in, all that stuff is really stifling creativity. It stops somebody from becoming their true organic self that's going to break out and be the next superstar. And the only example that you really have of that is the amount of breakout superstars that you've had since this system has really come into play. When they really started honing in on the developmental system, it started to create cutter wrestlers. It was guys that wrestled like each other, that fought like each other, that delivered promos like each other, that took camera cues from each other. It's even the way that they accepted critiques and understood the psychology of their matches and how they put them together. The system's broken from top to bottom. It needs to be completely shattered, and an entire new way of developing pro wrestlers and a look at pro wrestling would greatly benefit the billion-dollar company that has all the assets in the world to shatter that system.
All right.
What?
So, Bill, your rebuttal?
Well, I recently bought this book. It's called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. Written by Tom O'Neill. 20 years ago, when Tom O'Neill was reporting a magazine piece about the Manson family murders, he worried there was nothing new to say. Grim Nights in August 1969 had been cataloged, fictionalized, and mythologized, and Charles Manson became one of history's most infamous criminals. Then O'Neill unearthed shocking evidence of a cover-up behind the official story, including police carelessness, misconduct, and potential surveillance by intelligence agents.
I can't follow that.
Rebuttal.
Good luck, Joe.
He's confused me so much I don't remember what the fucking question was.
Bill, you want to remind him what it was?
What's that?
You want to remind him what his rebuttal's about?
Oh, yes. So I bought this book. It's called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s.
All right, Joe,
you do have a rebuttal.
All right, so my rebuttal is that the system is broken because of the yes men, if I'm going off a previous standpoint, right?
Yeah.
So it is broken. It's been broken for quite some time. I mean, the yes men have been around for – they've always been yes men. And when you change things up and keep changing them up, and Vince McMahon isn't hip to the time, so you have the yes men who are just agreeing with the guy that is out of touch and out of date. I mean, it really says it all right there. I mean, the system's 100% broken because of who's at the helm, who's operating the ship. I mean, what used to work might have worked, but the fan base has changed. The fan base isn't the same as it used to be. And the fan base is attention span is very, very much shorter than what it used to be, when you can just put a guy out there and drink beer in front of people and everyone would fucking go apeshit. Now everyone wants to see something different every 5 minutes, that it's hard to keep track of what is actually the most popular thing in wrestling right now. You wouldn't be able to tell that. Me being from the fans' point of view, that's how I feel. I mean, being within the business, it might be a different point of view, but as a fan, I see it as a broken system.
All right.
Good point,
Shut
Dale.
Up, Dale. Shut the fuck up, Dale.
Dale.
And Dale.
All right, 30 seconds. Dan, I assume you'll take the 30 seconds.
No, I think Bill's got this one. Bill, follow him up.
20 years ago, when Tom O'Neill was reporting a magazine piece about the Manson family murders, he worried there was nothing new to say. Those two grim nights in August 1969 had been cataloged, fictionalized, mythologized. Charles Manson became one of history's most infamous criminals. That's O'Neill unearthed shocking evidence of a cover-up behind the official story, including police carelessness, legal misconduct, and potential surveillance of intelligence agents. Boom. 30 seconds.
Look at that. You did it in 20.
Great. I want to point out that both members of the Now have gotten up and walked away during Bill's rebuttals, and I don't like it. That type of disrespect is not okay in my book. That's points off.
You know why? Because I'm right and they're wrong. That's it.
That's right. No, honestly, they're afraid to hear the truth.
What's actually fascinating is that I've actually never seen a lack of reading comprehension visually as much as I have when Bill does his reading. Because he could read it out loud, but there's absolutely zero comprehension. He could never tell you what the fuck he just read. It's pretty.
Yeah, he has to keep reading it because he won't remember it.
Yeah, he's actually read it on every show you fucking do, and he still has no idea what it says.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Did we win or lose?
I have an excellent reference for the Taz question because I've been reading Sabu's autobiography, and I do have some reference that, since we're referencing books, I could, you know, give that to you.
Fuck. It's a whole book. There's a fucking turkey in the room.
Does Sabu talk about his giant fat fingers or no?
Covered in cold ketchup. Face down in a plate of French fries.
So next topic. Let's keep this fucking train rolling. We're doing this.
Since Vic brought it up, Taz recently brought back the FTW title on AEW Dynamite. So do you think that relying on nostalgia is smart in pro wrestling?
Who's that going to, me first, or are you going
to
start with
it will now? Go to the now. They have the first response.
Yeah, it would actually be really retarded of me to say that nostalgia would be awesome to use, especially when we're the now. So I'm going to have to go with relying on nostalgia sucks. It's there's no reason why you couldn't think of another title for that belt or give it another meaning or something like that. It's, you know, very much pro wrestling has always used nostalgia to bring the fans back into it. And it's repeating the exact same patterns over and over again, because instead of going after being, you know, adventurous and being daring and trying to go after concept and idea or something that could potentially bring in millions of new fans and start packing the buildings, they always go back to something that worked before. And it may get like the fast dollar, it may get like, you know, the short attention, but it's not an idea or something that's going to bring in people long term, because it's not something that's revolutionary. It's not something that caught their eye. It's not something that is going to be the thing that attracts the new viewer and keeps them there. There's nothing about the FTW title being on television for a person flicking through the dial that's going to stop and watch it. There's nothing that attracts them to it other than the fact that Brian Cage is a big, impressive son of a bitch. Like, I don't even think he needs that belt. You know, having Taz there to talk with him is cool because it adds like another layer to his character, but Brian Cage can talk too. So, you know, relying on nostalgia has never been one of my favorite things.
Right.
Bill, nice. Your rebuttal?
My rebuttal? Okay. I'll do a serious one.
You're trying to tell me that last one wasn't serious?
All right, relax, all right? Fucking relax.
Relax, Dale.
Shut up, Dale. I'm going to – you know what? I agree. The FTW title
– Opposite. You have to do opposite. You have to be the opposite.
All right, I'll do the argument first.
I'll do the argument then, Dan. Jesus.
All right.
I mean, it's pretty much discussion over then, right?
Look, I mean, really, it should be, but – I'll do it. I'll play devil's advocate. What we're trying to do here is establish Brian Cage as a threat, the unclaimed champion. And what better way to do it than to use a legacy belt to say, look, this meant for me as a young wrestler that I was not allowed to be crowned the champion, and Brian Cage is holding up that exact same mantle. Brian Cage needs to be established as a legitimate threat in AEW. What better way than to give him the legacy that Taz had as the monster that beat everyone who came in his way? So if you give him the FTW title and say, hey, look, this title means nothing to anyone but us, and this title is about how we are the most real wrestlers in the world, and fuck the world. We're going to take them all out, and we're going to call ourselves a champion regardless of what belt they want to give us an opportunity for. So the FTW belt, while it's a call to nostalgia, is bringing forth fond memories. The reason nostalgia exists is because you can look back at a fond memory, it reminds you of something, and then you can use it to build moving forward. You can't just rely on nostalgia and the idea of saying, hey, remember how great the old times were? Let's only think about the old times. But you can use nostalgia to say, the old times are great, and now we can use those old time memories to move us forward into the next generation.
All right, Joe.
I mean, what is the shelf life now of nostalgia, though? I mean, the shelf life of nostalgia, you get a cheap pop, and that's about it. And within 3 weeks, people have started to forget about it. I mean, it hasn't been handled properly. And just because it's AEW all of a sudden doing it, yes, you've already got your niche market of your however many fucking viewers you have every week. You're not going to bring in new viewers by bringing back old things. Like, old things are what drew you back in the day, and now there's a completely different fan base that wants to see something completely different, and keep distracting them with things that they've already seen isn't a way to build new eyes, new viewership. It's just a cheap way to say, here, we're giving you something. It's something that was cool back then, and now we're going to try and trick you for another month or so until it fades away, and then we can find something else to grab your eye again.
All right, Bill.
Well, maybe from the other end, it could be maybe some fans will watch this and have no idea what the FTW title is. So that will make them go back, research Taz, research old ECW, go back to that era back in like 97, 98, see what the FTW title was about. And maybe, you know, it'll educate them a little bit more on the value of that title, I guess. And, you know, open them up to what they missed out on, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vic?
What are you looking at me like that for? Are you staring at me?
Because you don't even fucking believe what you're saying. It's fascinating.
Oh, shut up.
You announced Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Raw. Watch those ratings go up. Go ahead and announce the next generation superstar who gets better ratings. Nostalgia exists for a reason.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Vic, not you, Bill. We're in the same team.
Stop yelling at me, Dan.
Joe, Vic, you guys got a 30-second rebuttal.
Vic, go ahead.
The absolute... the best way, absolutely, to change the way that pro wrestling is viewed is you have to completely come up with some new concept, some new idea, some new character, and you can't rely on the past. The idea that the people are going to do research is ridiculous, because fans do not do research anymore. They do not go back and watch things like that. You can't get people to do research about much of anything. So to think that they're going to go back and learn about the FTW title is living in fantasy world.
Jeez, calm down.
Who pissed in your cornflakes?
God, why are you guys taking it so personally? I thought this was
pretend. Sick of you and your shit.
Isn't this pretend?
You know what? I'm done with this podcast. I'm fucking done.
This is pretend. It's pre-planned phony bullshit wrestling, man.
Where'd Dan go? Dan's
gone.
Dan.
Dan, you got one last rebuttal?
Fuck you.
Short and sweet. I like it.
Yeah. They're a tag team that their gimmick is from the 80s, so of course they're going to like want nostalgia. They're 80s cops. Miami Vice shit.
It's a shame that we're the only ones that get booked now.
Oh, man.
It dude, is a shame.
That was bad. That was bad.
As the newest tag team partner, I don't agree with this at all.
Eat shit, Dale.
Pretend, Dale. Stop it.
Eat shit, pretend, Dale.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Guess who is joining our show?
I needed the hot tag there, too.
There you go.
I'm getting very bad.
No one's joining. He's just still connecting.
It's connecting to audio, whoever it is.
It's John Cena.
Oh, my goodness.
Dale probably got into a car accident. And it fucked up his phone real bad, so that's what's happening right now. His car is probably rolling down a hill, and somehow his steering wheel hit the Zoom app and activated Zoom.
You heard it here first, folks.
He just stumbled into it. Incredible.
Is this like the Simpsons episode when Homer rolls down the hill and then rolls back into the car? Something like that?
Pretty much.
All right, let's do the next question while he still doesn't join.
Wrestling fans seem to be more interested in what's going on out of the ring than in the ring. Do you think this is the case around wrestling, period, with all fans?
I'm going to say no, and the reason is because people pay to watch wrestling. They don't pay to watch what's going on behind the scenes. The thing about going behind the scenes is it's free and it's easy to get access to, but realistically, nobody wants to hear about your political views. Nobody wants to hear about your sex life. They only want to hear about what's going on in pro wrestling. They like pro wrestling. Sure, you could say that they follow you on Twitter to find out what's going on, but reality is they pay money to watch you perform. So yet, while they are paying mild attention to what's going on behind the scenes, half the time they're just mad at you and say, don't say anything political. They want to just want to talk about wrestling. They want you to be wrestlers. So wrestlers should talk and do wrestling stuff. That is the key point of this argument, Bill. So write it down because you get to remember it in a minute and a half. We need... Wrestling fans, honestly, as much as they'll follow you on social media, the realistic thing is they want to buy your merch, see you in person, get autographs, take pictures. That's what they care about. They don't care about your private life as much as wrestlers would like to pretend that they do. They want to see what's going on inside the ring. They want to see what the action inside the four corners is. They want to see what you're doing on television or on indie shows or in death matches and, you know, the like. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Vic, I'm going to take this one just to throw what we're doing under the bus real quick, is that if you look online, you'll see 700,000 different wrestling podcasts created by fans that just want to talk about or talk to wrestlers, not about their wrestling career, but they want that inside scoop. They want that behind the scenes look. They want to feel like they're part of the business. And yes, I'm throwing this podcast under the bus, but that seems to be the trend, is that people want to get more to know the wrestlers themselves. Like, yes, the wrestling was cool, but now that they've hit a certain age, they want to know more. And that seems to be what everyone is infatuated now with, wanting to know more and more and more. We know a little bit now, so now we got a taste. Now we need to know more. Short and sweet.
Okay. All right, Bill.
I mean, I get that aspect of it, but to me, social media and the internet, as much good as it's done for wrestlers in the wrestling business, it's hurt it. Because, you know, a lot of times we get a little too personal on the internet and like to tell what's going on in our lives, whether they care or not. Me, as a wrestling fan, when I was a kid growing up, I could probably give two shits about what was going on in their personal life. Wrestling, for me, was a release from the real world. And that's how it should be. You know? It's not a business to make friends with, inside or outside of the business. You're really not going to make a lot of friends. You'll have acquaintances, but you might have maybe 10 friends once your career is done, inside and outside of the business, fans and wrestlers alike. But like I said, to me, wrestling has always been a release to get away from real life problems and just real life in general. And again, I think that's how a lot of fans still take it to this day. And yeah, sure, you know, podcasts and stuff out there that want to talk about the personal stuff in wrestlers' lives and everything, but that could also be a release for us as well. You know, being able to, you know, it's social media, internet, the whole thing is just
a little over.
Bill, you went too long. They muted you.
Yes. Muted.
It's a vicious cycle.
Go ahead, Vic.
You see, in what Bill just said, you know, pro wrestling is the escape for people so that they can escape from their real life. And people use pro wrestling for that very thing. And they do it with all aspects of it, which is why things like Total Divas, Total Bellas, those shows do so well, is because they're following around these people and their personal lives, and it's the escape from their own reality and their own lives that they're living. So it's happened for generations and generations of pro wrestling fans, where they've lined up behind the buildings and wanted to see what cars the guys were driving and where they, you know, they would always be the gossip in the arena of who wrestled in the other town, or who showed up, like who was in Macho Man's car when they got out of the car, or everybody always wanted to know like the inside details. You know, I listened to Conrad's podcast today, he did with Bischoff, and they were talking about some pay-per-view from 1992, but Jim Ross had a radio show down in Atlanta, and people were calling in talking about who the new booker was, and Bill Watts was coming in, and they didn't like that decision. And like, this was going back to 1992. People have always wanted to know the inside stuff. And there's wrestling websites that, guys, this is their full-time job. They feed their families by talking about what wrestlers do in their spare time or behind the scenes. I mean, we just had a Twitter scandal completely blow up that went mainstream media because people were so interested in the debauchery and chicanery of the pro wrestling business. So people are always going to be very interested in that side of it, because pro wrestling doesn't have necessarily the cleanest history for producing the most high quality human beings and having the highest moral code. So it's a big escape for people who don't want to deal with their own reality. They can watch a car crash right in front of them.
Here's my rebuttal. Wrestling fans want to pretend that, well, let me first, wrestlers want to pretend that what they say matters. That's the biggest thing here. Let me be, oh, I'm going to say whatever, whatever I'm saying right now means the most to everyone in the entire world. When in reality, no one gives a shit. Because if you can't deliver as a wrestler, no one's going to pay attention. Oh, thanks, other Dale, for joining.
You have no idea what a process this has been.
I mean, we do. It's called clicking a link.
Let me
solidify my point on this. Dale just said you know what type of process this has been, and none of us cared. So I'm just saying that nothing else backs up my point more than that.
Dale, everybody can see your real name right now. This is going to be.
Oh, he's gone. There he goes. Yes.
Oh, Dale.
He came in that one. I don't care what you say.
he came in as unkayfabe as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Guns a-blazing, expecting a big pop. Nobody gave it to him.
I hope the process to get off was easier than the process to get back on.
Isn't it always?
All right, next question. Let's do this.
All right. Most iconic wrestler of all time.
It's your turn, right?
Yeah, Vic. Joe.
See, this is what I wanted Hale in for these questions, because I wanted to sit back and watch. I didn't want to have to fucking put my 2 cents in.
I'm going to let Bill answer for us, because I know he already has an answer.
Well, Vic, Joe, you guys are first. You or Vic?
Vic, go ahead. I could play off of you.
We're rebutting. We're doing the rebuttal. To what
no, 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 no.
Right now, no, it's the who's your most iconic wrestler of all time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know how I missed you guys transitioning to that. Most iconic wrestler of all time. I have to answer for both of us.
Yep.
I'm back.
Jesus Christ. Hey, Dale. Hey, Dale Collins. Hey, Dale Collins.
I can't believe it's Zoom. Has autocorrect.
Wow. Hale Collins, who's the most iconic wrestler of all time? You have 90 seconds.
Shawn Michaels.
Why?
Nope, you have to give an answer. Man, you are a podcast whiz.
Yeah, don't be afraid to use the whole 90 seconds.
Wasn't
this your idea?
I'm happy you guys, look at anyway,
it's gone.
Yep.
Tell everybody.
Right, so Hale Collins, Big Shawn Michaels, Bill, your rebuttal.
So my rebuttal, obviously, regardless of your opinion of the
Antonio Inoki.
What? Is it my
turn? Your name, Bill.
Yes, it's your name, Bill.
Okay. Jesus fuck. Anyway, sorry. Regardless of what you think of this guy,
in your opinion, whatever.
Who's talking?
What's going on?
Listen, guys.
We still haven't gotten the answer yet.
No, we still haven't got the answer.
All right.
No, I think, Bill, is your 90 seconds up or what?
Damn! Yeah. Fuck up!
Come on, tell everybody why Bull Nakano is the most fucking famous wrestler ever.
It's Hulk Hogan. You think of pro wrestling, you think Hulk Hogan. That's it. Is my 90 second done because of fucking Dale?
Yeah.
You're good.
Right. It's Hulk.
That was a long 90 seconds. That was a long 90 seconds.
Dale.
So we got two wrestlers, but no backstory to why they are the best.
Yeah.
Yep, that gives us a lot of leeway. Go ahead, Vic.
Vic, you get to argue Shawn Michaels.
Go ahead, argue. Go ahead. Try and argue that one.
Yeah, go ahead, the Bret Hart of the team.
Well, since we have Shawn Michaels as the most iconic wrestler of the decade, got to be on his wrestling ability, right? His ability to have the absolute best matches with the worst wrestlers ever and be able to kind of pull some of those matches into pay-per-view money matches. He was a part of the transition period of time there. So, it's hard to go with the fact that it's based on money. You have to go with just wrestling ability if we're going to make that argument. So, yeah.
All right, Dan.
If there was anything more convincing than that argument, I don't know what it was.
Fuck, man. It's like,
this reminds me of the book that Bill just got, Chaos, yeah. Charles Manson, the CIA.
That's what you were looking up that whole time.
Book again? I wonder.
Jeez. A journalist's 20-year fascination with the Manson murders leads to shocking new revelations about the FBI's involvement in this riveting assessment of an infamous case in American history. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yep. And he actually wins with that. That's the worst part about that.
Yeah.
It was a default win, and I'm pretty sure, did you guys get sponsored by that book in particular?
Which book? Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s? A journalist's 20-year fascination with the Manson murders leads to shocking new revelations about the FBI's involvement in this riveting reassessment of an infamous case in American history. That book?
That's the one.
The one that Kate Nibbs from The Ringer called a page-turner stacked with gobsmacking facts?
What's happening right now?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. This hell, why the completely off the rails. Mike,
hold on. Let me ask you a question. What if everything we thought we knew about the man...
He's getting muted. Bill, they muted you.
Yo, did Bill just get muted?
Yeah.
Yeah, they muted him. It's unfair. They muted you.
Let's go to the next topic, because we'll never get to it if I don't.
Let's pick one quick, because I got to go to bed.
Worst gimmick of all time.
What was it? Repeat the question.
Worst Hale gimmick Collins. Of all time.
Worst gimmick of all time has to be the now. What is the now? That's a good question. I'm the now. What's the gimmick of the now? They're the worst gimmick in the history of professional wrestling. Yeah.
Let's talk about the wrestler Dan Barry before he was in the tag team. What was Dan Barry?
Successful. So,
oh yeah, you were jobbing to Tookie Tucker, the wrestling trucker, motherfucker. What are you talking about?
On the show you weren't booked on. So we have.
I didn't want to be booked on it. I was in developmental at the time.
Oh.
Sure. You know who else is in developmental? Chucky Bill. Tucker, the wrestling trucker.
That was my answer for the worst gimmick ever.
Full circle.
Bill, unmute Bill so he can give you his answer.
He's going to say Cookie Tucker, too.
What?
Who's the worst wrestler ever, Bill? Go ahead. Worst gimmick ever.
Worst gimmick ever? What did you say?
I said the now. You can say whatever you want.
Gee. I'm going to go ahead and say Cookie Tucker and the wrestling trucker.
Wasn't there a wrestler in Connecticut called the Iron Eagle? Can't we throw him in there too?
What about Joseph von Schmidt?
Yo, who was that guy that came to the HOH seminar that was like a mini Ultimate Warrior? Who was that guy?
Scorpion, Red Scorpion.
Yeah.
Scorpion.
But he lived it, so you can't really say it's the worst.
Yeah, that dude had put all of his money into that gimmick. No, worst gimmick ever, Brimstone.
Yeah, 100% Brimstone, 100%.
You know Brimstone. Do you guys not know who Brimstone is? Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, man.
Dan, enlighten them, please.
If you want to read his Wikipedia page, we have a whole two-part podcast on that.
Really?
Oh, it's fucking something.
Self-promotion, smart.
Yeah.
Worse than the Trash Man?
Tremendously Awkward Podcast.
Yeah, Tremendously Awkward Podcast on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts.
Look how fucking proud Bill was of that plug, and then he got heartburn.
Yeah, look at Bill's dying.
Oh, man. That was tough to watch.
I was going to say he had a good run, but I mean.
It was a mediocre run.
Yeah, it was a brisk jog.
I'm good.
I got one last question. I'm getting it in because I want to hear Hale's answer. Greatest horror movie of all time.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, 1974.
Bill, you're a buzz.
Hold on. Dad. I have some more.
Here. What are you, live via satellite? Hurry up.
Just because it felt real. Like, it looks real. It's awesome. Really scared a lot of people for the first time that they ever seen anything horror movie related. It was the first of its kind. It still is up to this day. And it looks as terrifying as hell if you're in that situation. And it's realistic.
Go ahead, Bill.
First off, Dale has told me that exact answer about 100 times in the last 3 days. word for word. Now, greatest horror movie of all time is Jaws.
Why the fuck are you guys talking about that much in the last 30 days?
Anyway.
Talk about this exact
thing. Greatest horror movie of all time is Jaws. Jaws, to make people not want to go into the water ever again, to really like fuck people's lives up forever, that's the ultimate goal in horror.
Are you saying people really fear going in the water for the first time or every time because of Jaws?
Yeah, there was a whole thing in the time frame. It was like a movement. I don't know if you could Google that, but it is true.
But even honestly, to this day, if I get like past like my fat tits, I lose my shit. I start getting scared.
Get past your what?
What?
Get past your what?
Chaos. Charles Manson, the CIA, and the secret history.
Awesome.
Yes, Jaws. Jaws because it fucked people up forever.
Jaws. It's just Jaws.
Relax, Dale.
This was pretty much how I expected it would go.
Look, it's everything I thought it was going to be and more.
It's what the dreams were made of for this show.
It really was. Yeah. So we're going to cut it there. Yep. We have plenty to work with.
Yeah, good luck with editing this.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be a part of the show. You know?
Yeah, glad you joined us, Hale.
I'm here. You know,
Poor Vic.
That's the face.
I think I did good.
No. I mean, you did great, but you also had the only, you had no backer from your tag partner. You had to make a new tag partner.
Yeah. I'm definitely the makeshift tag partner. Sorry.
Hell, they buried us. We didn't get booked.
Dale was too busy getting stung by bees and crashing his car.
Shot. Oh, Bill.
Bees. Bees everywhere. The bees.
Yeah, real serious. Right. As soon as he said bees. Boy.
Yeah.
Yo, why are you so tan?
What?
What did you say? Why is everybody so... Yeah, everyone's so tan. Why is everyone so tan out so white?
I don't see a single tan person here.
All right, bye.
Oh, man. Well, it looks like prematurely that'll do it for the show. So, we thank everyone who has stayed and is still watching, hopefully. And,
that's the best.
Yeah, and hope you enjoyed, and remember to like, subscribe to any and all of our videos. We appreciate you watching. Thank you, Vic, Bill, Hale, to the recently departed
anytime.
Dan Barry. And
is this live?
This is not live.
Oh, okay.
This will be going up on YouTube. No,
the show's over. Why would you ask that now?
Yeah, it's a little late for that.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Man. All right, well, we're live, folks.
Yeah, well, at least we were.
Remember we did the whole, like, 3-2-1 thing?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Want to do it again? We can start over.